From Festival Place in Sherwood Park, birthplace of Toby Smith. You know, Toby, who I went to high school with. It's the Irrelevant Show!
We now return to CSI, Medieval England.
All right, Coppleston, what are we looking at?
This is Anne Boleyn, former queen, female, slim build, long dark hair, I would say early 30s. What else? Head chopped off.
Thank you, sir.
Pretty sure.
I would have said mid-30s.
Good morrow, gentlemen.
Your Highness.
Oh, dear, what seems to have happened here?
Well, sire, we have a body here and a head just over here in this basket. We have 40 witnesses who saw that man with the axe chop this head off this body. Also, right before he swung the axe, that man cried out, "By the order of the king, I execute thee, Anne Boleyn!"
Sir, the cause of death is...
Natural causes.
Good work, I'm off to my wedding.
Congratulations, Your Highness.
See you next week.
Nice Pendleton. Welcome back to Dinners, Driveways, and Chives, the number one food show on the radio. Today, we bring you part four of our series, Best of the City, and our focus is steak. Joining me as always is our restaurant reviewer, Chuck Mainley. Thanks for joining us, Chuck.
For sure.
Chuck, we sent you on a quest to find the best steak in town. Tall order. Where'd you start?
Oh, definitely. The first place I visited was called Ruth's Dave Grill. And right off the top, I have to say, they make a very good steak.
Tell us about it.
Well, it tasted like steak. Yeah. It was meaty, you know, beefy. It was like a good steak.
So you liked it?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It had a good steakiness. And it was hot. It wasn't cold to the touch. It was cooked. It was beef that had been heated until it tasted good.
Well, high praise for that one. What was number two?
Number two is a restaurant called Beth's John Grill. I ordered the steak, and I have to say, I like this one a whole lot.
What'd you like about it?
It had a really steaky quality. I liked it when I put it in my mouth, I enjoyed eating it.
Now, what do you mean when you say steaky? Most people listening aren't foodies, so maybe you can unpack that term for us.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. When I say steaky, I meant that I felt like I was eating steak. it was brown and hot and beefy. Yeah, really beefy, like cow beef. Which is good to, you know, cut up into small pieces and then put in your mouth. You know, steaky.
Now, finally, the one you chose as the best steak in town, where did you find it?
Yeah, definitely. I went to Jane's Bill Grill, and I found their steak was real good. Meaty, brown, super steaky. Now, when I bit into it, I thought, yes, this is beef. I like beef. I am going to continue eating this.
Intriguing. What set it apart from the competition?
Oh, that's tough. The way I would describe it is like, have you ever eaten a good steak?
Yes.
It was exactly like that.
Thank you, Chuck. Join us next time on Best of the City when we go looking for the city's finest scrambled eggs.
Oh, I like them scrambly.
Okay, I am rolling,
and it is 7 p.m. exactly. Audio diary of Clarence Peterbody. I'm super excited right now because I am in an escape room. My friends have been telling me about these things where they lock you in a room and you have to find your way out. It's sort of like a puzzle, and I am psyched. I'm gonna nail this. Okay, what have you got for me? Oh, come on. That's it? The door's right there. Escape room solved at 7:01 p.m. Told ya I was gonna crush this. What? It's locked? Oh my God. I figured it out. Oh yeah. Audio diary of Clarence Peterbody. It's 7:06 p.m. I tried repeatedly to open the door, but it remained locked. I considered giving up, but no. These escape room people aren't going to get the best of me. So then I tried kicking the door open. And I wiped out and fell backwards onto the throw rug. And under the rug, guess what? A key! Here we go! Now all I have to do is fashion this key into a lockpick, and I'm out! p.m. So, I was trying to bend the key over my knee, and it fell down this crack in the floor. And when I reached down to grab the key, this trap door thing opened, and there's another room under there. Great! Now I've got two rooms to escape from. Door's still locked. Spirits are still high. I'll report back later.
This summer, see some of the greatest plays ever written in an audacious new interpretation.
To lose or not to lose, that is the question.
People at the Dentist Players present The Best of Theatre, performed by people who are having dental work done. Theatre classics like A Streetcar Named Desire.
I have always depended on the cause of the Savior.
Good, and spit.
You haven't heard A Few Good Men until you hear the actors anesthetized.
You got the truth. Can handle. You can handle the truth.
And for the first time ever, people at the Dentist Players attempt a musical. What musical was that? We're honestly not sure. But listen to what people are saying about this incredible theater experience.
As a mother of two and a dentist of many, I thought it was terrific.
I usually find plays are all blah, 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 but I've been to the dentist, so I found it super relatable.
I took my dentist, and he cried. I really enjoyed that.
I like how they had out-of-date People magazines in the lobby.
Tickets are now on sale for our next production, Glengarry Glen Floss. People at the Dentist Players, theater with bite.
ABC, R3 cleaning.
7:14 p.m. Looks like I'm spending the night in here. That's fine. I did find some blueprints or whatever, so at least I can use those as a blanket. p.m. Great! You turn the lights off in this place and the walls glow with invisible ink that's impossible to read. How am I supposed to sleep with all this light? Ugh. Must rest. Conserve energy for the challenge that lies ahead. I'll check in later.
You're listening to The Irrelevant Show on CBC Radio 1, coming to you today from Festival Place in Sherwood Park, Alberta.
Our final recording of the season will be Saturday, April 9th at Victoria School of the Arts in Edmonton. If you're hearing this on the afternoon of April 9th, we're at the theater right now waiting for you. Come on! If you're listening on Sunday, April 10th, you broke our heart. You broke it into tiny little pieces.
That's what we get for trusting you.
But you know what? It was worth it.
We have so many beautiful memories that we'll carry forever. No matter what happens, no matter where we go.
Goodbye, my dearest love. Goodbye.
And now, a song to start our new lives from Success 5000!
It's not hard to see that you're bad for me. You're like food that's high in trans fats and low in vitamin C. You're like a non-laparoscopic late-stage appendectomy. You're an unsafe operation, there's gonna be complications, and I should just walk away from you. But I got a big dumb heart, pumping the blood to my big dumb head, and sending all the signals to my big dumb mouth to say all the big dumb words that I never should have said. I got a big dumb heart, pumping the blood to my big dumb head, and sending all the signals to my big dumb mouth to say all the big dumb words that I never should have said.
If I'm print media, you're the next 5 years. If I'm my own dignity, then you're an embarrassingly small amount of beer. And if I'm a medium-sized meteorite, then you're the atmosphere.
You're gonna burn me up, you're gonna break me down. I should just turn around and run. But I got a big dumb heart, pumping the blood to my big dumb head, and sending all the signals to my big dumb mouth to say all the big dumb words that I never should have said. I got a big dumb heart, pumping the blood to my big dumb head, and sending all the signals to my big dumb mouth to say all the big dumb words that I never should have said.
'Cause you and me are like oil and water, or cats and dogs, or cats and birds, or cats and mice, or cats and children, or cats and most other cats. What I'm trying to say is, we shouldn't mix. And I gotta listen to my brain for a change, instead of always thinking with my
big dumb heart, pumping the blood to my big dumb head, and sending all the signals to my big dumb mouth to say all the big dumb words that I never should have said. I got a big dumb heart, pumping the blood to my big dumb head, and sending all the signals to my big dumb mouth to
say all the big dumb words that I never should have said, oh no.
p.m. It's been 16 minutes. Couldn't sleep. But I saw the reflection of the invisible ink in the mirror, and it says, look at the fireplace. Ha! That's it! I can use the fireplace as a forge to melt all these keys I keep finding. I'll fashion an axe and chop down the door! God help me!
One skinny grande Americano, half calf, extra hot.
I'm sorry, but I ordered a latte.
I'm sorry, but I changed it to something else for no good reason. How do you like that, Neil deGrasse Tyson, famous astrophysicist?
Wait, do I know you?
I doubt it, because you didn't recognize me before, when I was a planet.
Pluto?
The dwarf planet? Yeah, that's me.
What are you doing here?
Well, you got me fired from my job as a planet, remember? I didn't have a lot of options. I had, like, one skill, orbiting.
Look, I'm sorry. It's just that when we looked at your size, it was clear you weren't large enough to call yourself a planet.
You're calling me small and a liar? I've got 5 moons to support.
Look, can I just get some water?
You want some water? Talk to your friend Mars. It's got lots.
Fine, I'm leaving.
Pluto?
Yes, Carol?
As the manager here, I've been getting a lot of complaints.
I don't believe that. I bring a lot of people in.
That's just your gravitational pull. I'm going to have to let you go.
Could this day get any worse?
Oh, and Disney called. They say you can't use the name Pluto anymore.
Ma'am, I'm Officer Trubel.
Oh, good day, sir.
And this is Ron.
Hello.
He's our sketch artist.
An artist? Oh, my.
Now, don't worry. I give you my word we will find your man.
Oh, we must. We simply must.
So you're Marigold Mayweather?
Yes. Have been since the day I was born. Now, the fact that I do not yet carry the surname of a husband is, to say the least, vexatious.
Okay, are you ready to describe your man?
I do believe I am.
Great, just close your eyes and try to picture him in your mind.
Oh, this man's image is forever burned on my very soul.
Yeah, just tell Ron what he looks like.
Oh, sir, he is a man. A real man who makes other men appear as boys in his dark, manly shadow. He looks as though he could twirl you around the dance floor with the grace of a butterfly, but just as quickly pounce on another man with the brawn of a bear just for smiling at you.
Okay, look, maybe let's start with something more basic.
Yeah. How about his height? Was he tall?
Tall? Why, he looks as though he could touch the sun with not much more than a gentle nod. But you know what they say. Confidence can give or take 20 feet in a woman's eyes. Or a man's fishing tails if he's from south of Pemberley.
I'm going to write down 5'10".
Wait. Maybe give it a range.
Fine. 5'4" to 6'8".
All right, let's move on. What can you tell us about his eyes?
Oh, his eyes are the very windows to his heart. And let me tell you, Those windows have adorable shutters, and an apple pie right out of the oven sits on the windowsill.
So, like, green?
Maybe blue?
Or pie-colored?
Ma'am, we need you to be a little more specific here. That would really help us find the man who robbed you.
Yes, the man who will rob me of all the love I have inside. The man who will steal my heart.
Nope. We're trying to arrest the man who stole your purse.
Oh, good gracious, no. Why would I ever want to see him again? What a horrible, ill-mannered scoundrel he was. Oh, I do declare, if I ever do see him again, I am going to give him a piece of my mind, a sharp piece. In fact, one day I intend to march right over to 19 Cherry Cheese Lane and say, Joshua Pickens, I hate you. I really do. You are a scoundrel, and no woman in her right mind will ever, I repeat, ever be your bride.
Put a 10-3 out on Joshua Pickens. 19 Cherry Cheese Lane. Well done, ma'am. We've got your man.
No, sir. You've got your man. My man is still out there, wishing and waiting and pining for me as I am still wishing and waiting and pining for him.
Have you ever thought of online dating or maybe Tinder?
Good Lord, no, I'm not desperate.
PM. Dear family, I am writing you because I soon will perish in this room. I've called out for help, and all I could hear were voices saying, "We can't help you. That's the whole point." And there are keys all over the damn place. And yes, that's true. The place is lousy with keys. The fireplace even had a key in it, hidden beneath a charred log. I knew exactly what to do. I immediately ate the log for sustenance. My last meal tasted like burnt toast. You probably won't get this letter because I suspect it will rot here in the crypt along with my body. And this envelope hanging from the ceiling that says, "Final Clue." As I drift off towards death, I think...
Mr. Clemens?
Thank you, God in heaven, I'm free!
Your time is up. Unfortunately, you didn't solve the puzzle. Oh, crap! Did you eat the log? Mike, call the paramedics. It happened again.
I did it in your face, escape room. Oh, my tum-tum. That log is not sitting right. Oh.
You've been listening to The Irrelevant Show, starring
Leona Browson,
Neil Gron,
Mark Meir,
Jana O'Connor,
and me, Donovan Workin.
Live music by Success 5000. Live sound effects by Dave Clark. Sketches were written by Ian Boothby, Peter Brown, Brian Crosby, Carly Heffernan, Tom Hill and Devin McKenzie, and head writer Neil Gron. The show is recorded by Corey Haverstock with assistance from Nick Strosky and edited by Ray Buxton. The senior producer of CBC Radio Comedy is Tracy Rideout. The Irrelevant Show was produced and directed by Peter Brown and recorded before a live audience at Festival Place in Sherwood Park, Alberta.
Tune in next week for the Irrelevant Show's first ever recording in Vancouver. We've got a bungee wedding and a guy named Steve who wants the world to know he's matured.
I've made some major changes. The old immature Steve that you once knew, well, he's gone. And in his place is Steve 2.0. A full-grown man living a mature adult life. You know that poster I had tacked to the wall that says, "Take me to your dealer"? You know, the one with the hilarious alien? Well, I got it framed, so now it's classy. Yeah. Also, I've totally changed my wardrobe. Check this out. I bought a second pair of pants. I'm serious. So now I have my jeans and a pair of khakis. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm talking about a brand new pair of khakis with a working zipper.
Steve 2.0 on the Irrelevant Show's first ever Vancouver recording next week.